Morning Early Birds, You've Caught the Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio and our friends in the public media spectrum across the region, bringing you the latest news. I'm Carl Lingle, your host. This is the Weekend Worm. It's the 25th and 26th of July, 2026, a Saturday and Sunday, the final weekend in July. From the latest National Weather Service discussion on the region's weather, dangerously hot temperatures continue this weekend, with today being the hottest day. Elevated to critical fire weather concerns continue. Isolated to scattered showers and thunderstorms today will be capable of producing strong to severe wind gusts. And above normal temperatures continue into next week, with isolated chances for precipitation. The National Weather Service has put multiple counties in northeast Montana under an extreme heat watch through Sunday night. Officials warned of dangerously hot conditions with heat index values up to 101 possible. Heat-related illnesses increase significantly during extreme heat and high humidity events. They are reminding residents to drink plenty of fluids, stay in air-conditioned rooms, stay out of the sun, and check on relatives, neighbors, and pets. Wildfire smoke is blanketing much of western Montana. Parts of the Flathead and Bitterroot Valleys had air quality considered unhealthy for sensitive groups. Forecasters say a high-pressure system continues to send smoke from wildfires in Oregon and Washington for the foreseeable future. Public health officials say people sensitive to smoke should limit their time outdoors. They also say people should find ways to create clean air spaces in their homes. You can do that with a HEPA filter or even by attaching a furnace filter to a box fan. Make sure the filter is rated to filter out PM2.5 particulate. July is traditionally the hottest month in Montana, and as YPR's Kay Erickson explains, this July is living up to the designation.
The heat is from a very strong high-pressure ridge over the Intermountain West up through the northern Rocky Mountains. Meteorologist Joe Lester with the National Weather Service Billings says these weather patterns linger.
This one is going to hang around for a little while, at least through the end of July, it looks like.
Over the next week to 10 days, the region is going to see triple-digit heat, with temperatures anywhere between 95 and 105 degrees, putting much of the region under an extreme heat watch through Sunday night. It's also been remarkably humid. Moisture in the air creates humid days and nights.
You know, the water in the air is able to hold the heat much longer, so you don't cool off at night as much as you would with a drier air mass.
The change will come next month.
We start to see a little more of that breakdown with a periodic cold front coming into the area, especially as we move in towards the middle of August.
In Billings, I'm Kay Erickson.
A couple of different areas in eastern and south central Montana are limiting fire starting activities to avoid the risk of wildfire. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks this week announced Richland County in northeastern Montana is under Stage 1 fire restrictions because of hot, dry weather. That means FWP is prohibiting smoking outside and campfires at its fishing and other recreational sites, but people can still cook using liquid petroleum gas or a propane stove. FWP put fire restrictions in place last week for Wheatland County in south central Montana. The U.S. Drought Monitor shows that at the time, parts of Wheatland, Sweetgrass, Stillwater, and Golden Valley counties were in extreme drought. The restrictions are in place in both Richland and Wheatland counties until conditions improve. People can find the most up-to-date information about specific closures on Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks website. Continued extreme drought conditions have led to new restrictions in portions of western Wyoming. An open fire ban is now in place for all state game and fish-owned and administered land in Teton, Lincoln, and Sublette counties. That means building any fire, including campfires, the use of charcoal grills or coal or wood-burning stoves, is prohibited. Smoking is also prohibited outside of a building or enclosed vehicle. Gas grills may be used but must be accompanied by proper means of fire suppression. All internal and external combustion engines, including ATVs and motorcycles, must be equipped with an approved spark arrestor. A decades-long drought with no end in sight is stirring debate among environmental experts in Wyoming and other western states. Eric Galatas with Wyoming News Service filed this report this week.
Climate change is exacerbating conditions for more frequent and severe wildfires, but as climatologist Trent Ford with the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign explains, changing precipitation patterns are just one driver of dried out trees and other vegetation that fuel these fires.
Warming trends have enhanced evaporation, so how much water is leaving the land, going up to the atmosphere as gas. Warmer temperatures during the winter has also caused less precipitation to fall as snow.
After a near record dry winter, Wyoming recorded its driest spring in decades. Today, the vast majority of the state is experiencing extreme or severe drought. Experts with the National Weather Service's office in Riverton report that the monsoon season expected in late July could bring relief, but it would need to rain every day for several weeks to improve drought conditions. I'm Eric Galatas.
Prices continue to march up at gas pumps across Montana amid another big jump in oil prices this week. AAA reports the statewide average of regular unleaded is well above what Montanans were paying 1 month ago. It's now at $4.28 per gallon. Similar averages are seen in Billings, Great Falls, and Missoula, all reporting prices that are about 30 cents higher than just 1 week ago. Diesel prices have also seen a similar run-up. Today, they're priced at $5.01 per gallon on average across the state. November 3rd, Yellowstone County voters will be asked to approve a $175 million bond and a $20 million mill levy to fund the Yellowstone County Detention Facility renovation and expansion project. According to a news release this week, Yellowstone County officials have launched a new website, ycjailexpansion.com, to educate and provide information on current operations and future needs of the jail, all in one place. County officials have also created Yellowstone County Jail Expansion Facebook page and YC Jail Expansion on Instagram as part of their information and education campaign for the project. A district court judge has thrown out a state senator's guilty verdict less than 24 hours after it was spoken. Montana Public Radio's Clayton Murphy has more.
On Tuesday night, Hamilton Republican Senator Jason Ellsworth left the Lewis and Clark District Court guilty of official misconduct. The following morning, that ruling had been vacated. According to court documents, first reported by the Lee State News Bureau, the court inadvertently gave jurors a record of emails between Assistant Attorney General Dan Gazinski, who represented the state in this case, and Bryce Eggleston concerning scheduling his witness testimony, which never actually happened. Ellsworth was accused of using his access to Senate funds to privately award $170,000 in government contracts to Eggleston, a longtime friend, using a loophole to avoid a public bid. District Court Judge Christopher Abbott set a tentative retrial for December 14th. In Helena, I'm Clayton Murphy.
Governor Greg Gianforte is taking the next steps in his suspension of a Montana electricity regulator accused of workplace misconduct. On Tuesday, Gianforte announced he's accepting applications for a one-year term on the Montana Public Service Commission. The governor suspended Commissioner Brad Molnar earlier this month following continued allegations of hostile behavior and mistreatment. Molnar is fighting the suspension in district court. His lawyer claims the governor wants to influence an ongoing Northwestern Energy merger. In an email this week, Molnar's lawyer, Matthew Munfortin, said, quote, every dollar an unregulated data center doesn't pay is a dollar a Montana family does, which Molnar objects to and which is why Gianforte wants him replaced, unquote. Gianforte, in his suspension letter earlier this month, denied the claim and attributed the suspension to Molnar's behavior since taking office last year, including sex-based discrimination, retaliation, and lack of remorse. The governor is taking applications for Molnar's replacement to represent South Central Montana through August 5th. Meanwhile, Lewis and Clark County District Court is considering Molnar's lawsuit to stop the appointment. And plaintiffs in the youth-led climate case against the federal government are asking a court to rehear their case. Montana Public Radio's Keely Larson has the story.
Plaintiffs in the Lighthizer v. Trump climate lawsuit are asking the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals to reconsider their case after it was dismissed last month. Filed by Our Children's Trust on behalf of the 22 youth plaintiffs, Lighthizer v. Trump made history in 2025 when these plaintiffs testified live in federal court. Young people, including from Montana, argued that the Trump administration's executive orders boosting fossil fuel development and removing climate science from government websites are harming their constitutional rights, including to life, health, and safety. The court dismissed the case, ruling the plaintiffs did not draw a strong enough link between the alleged harms and the executive orders. Plaintiffs outlined three alleged errors in the court's decision that they presented to a panel of judges and will now await their decision. In Missoula, I'm Keely Larson.
It's been a little over 4 years since the U.S. Supreme Court overturned the right to an abortion. Many states banned or severely restricted access since then. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports the Dobbs decision also impacted Montana, where abortion access is enshrined in the state constitution.
The Guttmacher Institute is a nonprofit research organization that supports abortion. Guttmacher has been collecting data on how many people access abortion for decades. There were nearly 2,600 abortions in Montana last year, says Guttmacher data scientist Isaac Maddow-Zimmet.
It is a pretty big increase from the number of abortions that were occurring in Montana pre-Dobbs.
Montana saw a roughly 50% increase in the number of abortions after the Supreme Court's ruling in 2022. That increase isn't coming from people traveling from neighboring states where abortion is banned or restricted. It's more Montanans accessing abortion.
And one of the big things that changed post-Dobbs is a broad infrastructure sprung up of abortion funds, practical support organizations, other kinds of support from providers themselves, to try to make sure that cost was not a barrier to people accessing care.
Many funds were aiming to help people cross state lines to access abortion. But organizations in states like Montana also benefited. They were able to help more people get and pay for care in the state. The Dobbs decision also accelerated the build-out of telehealth services. That's allowed more people to meet with a provider virtually. Over 80% of abortions in Montana are done with medications. That's well above the national average of 65%. Maddow-Zimmet says in a way, the Dobbs decision increased access to abortion care in Montana. In Columbia Falls, I'm Aaron Bolton. Thank you.
Wildlife managers say intentional feeding is likely causing aggressive bear activity north of Yellowstone National Park around Red Lodge. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, in a news release this week, said they've euthanized 6 black bears in the area so far this year because of food reliance. According to FWP, that's an unprecedented number over the last 3 years, despite a general growth in bear activity. Poorly secured attractants like trash can condition bears to return for more and create a safety hazard for residents. FWP says they suspect intentional feeding is contributing to bears' recent bold behavior, including breaking into vehicles and homes during the day and approaching, following, and chasing people. FWP is offering rewards of up to $1,000 for information about people feeding bears. Tipsters can submit reports on tipmont.mt.gov. Grizzly bear capture research is about to begin on private land in the Madison Range in southwest Montana. And as YPR's Kay Erickson reports, the public needs to avoid the area.
A news release from the U.S. Geological Survey announced the capture operation will begin in an area south of Highway 84, west of Highway 191, and north of Highway 287 in the Madison Range. It's part of ongoing efforts required under the Endangered Species Act to monitor the grizzly population in the greater Yellowstone ecosystem. In order to attract bears, biologists with the Interagency Grizzly Bear Study Team will use natural attractants like recent roadkill deer and elk to draw bears to the site. If bears are in the area, culvert traps or foot snares will be used to capture bears. All areas where capture work is being conducted will have major access points marked with bright warning signs. Biologists emphasize it's critical for the public to heed the signs. The work is to begin Monday, July 20th, and continue for a month through August 28th. In Billings, I'm Kay Erickson.
An adult female grizzly bear was moved last week for attacking cattle in western Wyoming, according to a news release from Wyoming Game and Fish Department. The grizzly bear was captured Friday, July 17th for cattle depredation on public land in Sublette County and relocated in the Five Mile Creek drainage about 5 miles from the east entrance of Yellowstone National Park. The relocation was done in cooperation with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the Shoshone National Forest. Grizzly bear relocation is a management tool large carnivore biologists use to minimize conflicts between humans and grizzlies. Bears that are considered a threat to human safety are not relocated. Wyoming Game and Fish are required to update the public whenever a grizzly bear is relocated. A black bear that caused multiple bear conflicts in north-central Wyoming County this month was euthanized by Wyoming wildlife officials. A 4-year-old male black bear was trapped on July 10th by Wyoming Game and Fish officials after repeated calls to the Bighorn area in Sheridan County earlier in the week after days of repeated food rewards from accessing residential garbage cans. Game and Fish personnel made the decision to lethally remove the bear instead of relocating it because of its continued presence in residential areas and documented food rewards. Wildlife officials remind residents to keep garbage inside a garage, shed, or other hard-sided structure until the morning of scheduled pickup. They say bungee cords and ratchet straps on top of lids or rocks on lids will not keep the bears from getting into the trash. A mountain lion has been relocated after it was found in a Casper, Wyoming neighborhood last week. Wyoming Game and Fish officials report the 2-year-old male mountain lion was safely immobilized in the Paradise Valley of Casper. On July 15th, it was relocated into a suitable habitat with the help of Casper Police and the Natrona County Sheriff's Office. The agency said the young lion was spotted in the neighborhood the night before and likely wandered into town along a natural corridor like the North Platte River. They praised the public for promptly reporting the animal and allowing for a smooth and peaceful resolution. The Wyoming Game and Fish Department didn't waver on its proposal to cut back on wolf hunting this fall. Last week, the commission voted to slash permits to half of last year. Hunting season for the apex predator begins on October 1st. The state will dole out 22 permits in Wyoming's trophy game zone, the northwest corner of the state. The move comes after the wolf population hit a 20-year low this winter. Only about a third of wolf pups on state-managed lands survived due to canine distemper, a measles-like disease. Less hunting could prop up the population. After counting 132 wolves this winter, the state is aiming to recover the population to its objective of 160 wolves and 10 breeding pairs. Defending national champions Montana State Bobcats have been tabbed as Big Sky Conference favorites in preseason football polls, according to a news release this week from the league. YPR's Kay Erickson filed this story.
The Bobcats were the overwhelming favorites in both the coaches' poll, where they received 11 first-place votes, and the media poll with 35 first-place votes. The Big Sky reports this is the first time since 2021 that a team has swept both the coaches' and media preseason polls in back-to-back seasons. Rounding out the top three in both polls are Montana and UC Davis, with the Grizzlies collecting one first-place vote in the media poll and the Aggies earning two first-place votes in both polls. The Big Sky has grown to a 13-team league for the upcoming football season with the addition of Southern Utah and Utah Tech. The season kicks off on August 29th with the Montana State Bobcats on the road to Utah Tech and the Montana Grizzlies hosting Southern Utah at Washington Grizzly Stadium. In Billings, I'm Kay Erickson.
An important date in Montana and U.S. history will be celebrated this Saturday at Pompey's Pillar National Monument. July the 25th is the date when William Clark inscribed his name in the sandstone formation along the Yellowstone River in south-central Montana during the Lewis and Clark Expedition in July 1806. Signature Day is an annual event. This year, it will also celebrate the monument's 25th anniversary with the Bureau of Land Management. Activities today include powwow performance by the Crow Tribe, a Mountain Men black powder demonstration, and a cooking demonstration featuring traditional foods. Pompey's Pillar National Monument is on U.S. Highway 312. It will be open from 8 till 4 p.m. That's the Weekend Worm for this final weekend of July 2026. Catch up with us Monday morning for the next edition of The Worm. I'm Carl Lengel. Have a great weekend.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal art call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.